love musicals. Classic musicals.
Is this the 2012 Les Miserables?
Weird musicals.
We're talking about Little Shop of Horrors. Musicals that make us laugh.
2005 film, The Producers. Musicals that make us cringe.
This isn't like, oh, fun trippy visuals, this is scary trippy visuals.
But if we've learned anything from talking about musicals, it's that at the end of the day, there is always a rant to be had.
It's like she's in a dead-end marriage.
These aren't hockey pads.
Fever dream of a reality.
She murdered Jennifer Hudson.
She's like Cat Pope.
Adolf Elizabeth Hitler.
Square share, you die.
I mean, what's a more romantic setting than a bunch of laundry?
So on our podcast, we do our best to discuss the most famous and infamous movie musicals you all love.
So let's pull back the curtain and begin our
stage rant.
I did it.
Good job.
I did the thing.
Yeah. Welcome to Stage Rant, where two dudes equally secure in their masculinity and sexuality break down the biggest movie musicals. Each week, myself, Adam, a man who is deeply concerned that there is no Title IX enforcement in this film, discusses the history of a show with...
Joe, a man who went to college two times. I went twice.
Same.
I have 2 degrees.
We went to the same college twice. Twice,
yes. We're both degreed men.
So learned.
So learned in our ivory towers. Yes. But I also do have a lot of strong pointed opinions. Mm. So without further ado, let's talk about some of those strong pointed opinions.
Yeah.
And let's begin the show.
Yeah. So Joe, what does Anna Kendrick, collegiate inaccuracies, and that's mostly for us,
yeah,
and vocal only covers have in common?
Adam, it's going to be the movie that I've somehow managed to successfully push off for like almost a decade.
Same, both of us. This is the first time both of us seeing
this
film.
This is gonna be Anna Kendrick's 2012 Pitch Perfect. Not Pitch Perfect 1 or 2. Not Pitch Perfect. Is there a third one out?
Yeah, there's a 3.
Okay, well, we're not gonna talk about those. We're gonna talk about Pitch Perfect 1.
Yeah, we're talking about the whole Pitch Perfect trilogy.
Man, we're so topical.
We're getting all the latest hits.
Everyone's favorite brand new instant classics.
Of course.
From 2012. Let's talk about Pitch Perfect.
Let's do it.
God, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm torn. I'm partially glad that I put it off a decade.
You know,
but there were some gems in this.
There were some really fun gems.
Some really obscure gems that really had nothing to do with the plot, and honestly, most of them were just Fat Amy riffing and just making up shit as she goes along.
Which, I mean, that's great.
Right.
You know,
I'm okay with that.
That's a good time. It's very fun. Anything with Elizabeth Banks and, oh my goodness, what's his name?
So you're going to be talking John Michael Higgins.
John
so
Michael
you're talking
Higgins.
The two
commentators. Yes. They were phenomenal.
If you had asked me before watching this movie what my dream job was, the answer would not have been, this is true, would not have been being, you know, the color commentary provider for a collegiate a cappella group competition series.
Yeah.
But now... Oh my god. If I can be this sassy and get paid for it,
you're already
what the
there.
Hell am I doing?
You just need to get paid for it.
Yeah, why am I not getting paid for it?
Yeah. And I did think about this, and I think I mentioned this to you while we were watching the film, because we watched it maybe an hour ago, if that.
It's fresh. The
Very
wound is fresh.
Yeah. That, like, clearly the only people who are watching this competition are in the theater.
Yes.
So no one is, like, tuning into their commentary.
So, like, are the mics hooked up to the
so
auditorium?
So who's listening to them?
I like to think that the mics are just pumped into the auditorium.
I like to think the mics aren't hooked up to anything.
They're nothing.
It's just those two keep
it's like
going.
It's like the goddamn Muppets. It's
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, we're gonna, like, Anna Kendrick's like, I'm gonna do the cup song. And they're up in the balcony being like, we prefer it if you did it.
Do the mug opera.
I like to think that that's actually what their entire role is.
But they don't, but that's the thing is that compared to the sound of the crowd, with the mics not hooked up, all you hear is.
Elizabeth Banks, so one of the people, wasn't she a producer?
I think so.
She was a producer on this.
Elizabeth Banks does everything in Hollywood.
Yeah, she's just kind of like always there.
She was great in The Hunger Games.
Yeah, she was there. She was definitely there. But
she was in a real estate commercial once? I think she was.
Really jump-started her career.
How old do you think she is?
I'm going to say she is 52.
Younger.
Really?
47.
Okay, good for her.
And she's married to a man named Max Handelman.
Ah, yes, of the Handelman Empire.
Yeah.
Do you know what they make?
Cupboards.
Yeah. Well, not actually cupboards. They make the handles for cupboards.
Oh, yes. I see what you did there.
No. The cupboard family is a different family.
Oh.
Mike Cupboard.
and they make cupboards?
Yes, they make cupboards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it would make more sense for the hand. Anyway.
Goddamn. So they're obviously going to be the standouts of this.
Yes.
I think for this episode, we kind of talked about this a little bit beforehand. I think that I don't really care about the plot of this.
The basic plot is Becca's new.
Yeah.
She goes to find friends.
Yes.
Stumbles into a cappella. The group wants to go to the finals.
And there's some interesting implications along the way.
There are some romances. There's a lot of vomit.
Yeah. More, like, 200% more vomit than I was expecting.
I did not think that vomit would be an integral part of the plot.
I also did not think that I still had the sense of childlike glee and wonder in me to still laugh at vomit jokes. But god damn it, Adam, did I giggle?
Listen.
Did I giggle both times?
Vomit jokes and poop jokes never get old.
Timeless.
You can be 9 months old or 99 years old.
Right.
You will laugh at a poop joke and a vomit joke.
Yes.
Anyway, that's the plot.
That's the plot. I think what's more interesting here is, like, the characters and some of the shit that happens in here.
They're all very unique.
Yeah, they're all special in their own way. Of course, starting with angsty-ass motherfucker Anna Kendrick, who, like,
straight off the set of Twilight.
Yeah, who's, like, a DJ. She's really big on mixing up beats.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why she doesn't use DJ Pro. Kind of an amateur move. Not really a true artist. It's fine. She's getting a full ride to college. Because her dad
is a professor.
Is a very wealthy professor.
Yeah.
Dude's out here driving a BMW X5.
Living in, like, a, I don't know if I call it a mansion, but a nice house. And he's single.
Yes.
Because this
is divorced. Not a combined income household. Like, no. Right. Yeah, I don't know what he's teaching. He might be the chair of a department at LSU, because this film essentially takes place at LSU.
Yes.
Like Louisiana State University.
Yeah.
Down in Baton Rouge.
Which means. You told me what it meant one time. You don't remember what Baton Rouge means?
No. Shit, what does Baton Rouge mean?
It means red stick.
Oh my god, it does mean red stick.
Remember?
Yes! Oh my gosh, from the one time I've been to Baton Rouge. If I recall correctly.
That was a shit Creole accent.
That wasn't a Creole. That was just me being white.
Oh,
trying to be cultured.
Okay.
That's like coming back from Cuba and being like, things are different down in Cuba.
They only drive old cars.
They only got old cars. Taxi drivers make as much as doctors. Like, which is, I think, fascinating to me.
Communism, man.
It really is.
Yeah.
But, like, it's also just, like, supply and demand, because there's so many goddamn doctors there.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Have you been to Cuba recently?
No, but I watched a Vox video on it.
Oh!
Which is essentially the same thing. I'm kind of an expert on international affairs.
You're a consumer of the Vox media.
Of the Vox media. Hmm. Of the Vox Populi. Anywho, rich-ass doctor, you know. I assume he probably has a doctorate if he has that kind of house.
Yeah.
And so she just wants to make her beats.
Yeah.
She shows up on campus
mm-hmm.
for what has to be the most involved first day.
The most chaotic, nonsensical first day I have ever experienced.
Yeah, so this school, I figured, what's the name
Barton.
Of the school? Barton. Barton, which is not a real school to my understanding.
Keep talking.
They say it's in New Jersey, but there's an awful lot of mossy-ass trees in the backgrounds of their shots for this to be New Jersey. It's fine, whatever. And so, like, Barton, like many schools...
Fun fact, there's a Barton College.
Okay.
It exists in North Carolina.
Okay.
And...
I'm going to say it's a fictional school.
It's a Christian college.
So this is a fictional school.
It has as much credibility as Cedarville does.
If what a very localized
those of you in the Dayton area, just Google Cedarville University, you'll be terrified. Anyway.
Read their student code of conduct. It's kind of interesting to me. like they anywho, we're not gonna get into this. And so they have like an up the orgs day is what we would call it here.
Yeah.
But like a student like involvement day where you get together in the quad with a table, like a table cover and maybe some like free handouts, some flyers. And everyone can, it's like join our club, join our organization. God, there's a lot going on in this.
Yeah.
Adam, like we started this. We went to school.
Went to the same school.
We went to the same school.
Yeah.
Did this shit exist here? Like, in these, like, and I get, obviously, that it is exaggerated. It is exaggerated depiction of the college experience.
It's hard, though, when you have two musical podcast hosts who are both working at separate colleges.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's just like, I don't know.
I remember...
It's kind of like High School Musical. I don't remember. High, you know, Troy and Gabrielle, their experience did not vibe with my experience in high school. Like, we went to math class, for example.
You went to a private school.
Was this what public school people did?
I went to a public high school.
Did y'all have, like, dance numbers where
now
you
listen.
Talk about sticking to the status quo? Over lunch?
Everyone
lunch
knows.
Is for eating French fries.
Hold on. Calm your privileged ass there. Listen, us public school attendees, we like to believe in systemic systems that kept those who are perhaps rising above their station too much.
Rising above their station. You would do well to mind your station.
No, it was nothing like High School Musical.
Right, and so,
my cafeteria, though, was almost as big as the one at East High.
Was it, like, two-tiered? Was it, like, two-storied? Because they had that really dramatic-ass staircase.
Yeah, it wasn't two-tiered.
That's really conducive to, like,
but it had,
you know,
three rooms.
It's really conducive to dance numbers, but probably not interior, like, flow.
We had, like, a main room, and then, like, an exterior room that was almost, like, an awning. That was, like, there was no wall that you could, like, sit outside but still be inside.
Interesting.
And then they had a third one that was, like, for students who wanted a quiet lunch. Who didn't have friends.
I was going to say, is that the sad room?
It was the sad room.
Does it have a lot of, like, really cheesy inspirational teamwork posters on the walls?
No, it was just white cinder block.
Better. At least put some, like, noise-canceling panels, acoustic panels on the wall to absorb the sound of their tears.
Anyway.
So it's up the orgs, and everyone's like, I want to get involved in this, and, like, blah, 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 blah. And we're introduced to the two dueling music groups.
Yes. So we have the Bellas.
Yes.
The all-female group. And
we have the Barden Bellas.
And then we have the Barden Treble Makers.
Treble. Ha, ha, ha. Now is a good time to talk. I fucking hate... I abhor really, like, clever...
Abhor.
What is the difference?
Abhor? Abhor is a word. Adhor is taking a whore and adding it to something.
I'm going to add whore. I abhor. I abhor.
Yeah?
Really, like, air quotes... clever a cappella group names.
Now, there are a cappella groups. For some transparency, we both went to college in Dayton. At a college in Dayton, Ohio. I'm trying to... And one thing about Dayton, Ohio, generally, there are like a few...
It's very aviation-themed.
Very aviation-themed. I'm going to try and find at least one of the names... Because I know that we had at least three a cappella groups.
I mean, we had...
So, I just Googled our alma mater,
as you do,
a cappella group. I found Underscore.
Underscore? Okay.
Underscore, which is...
Sure. That's fine.
Double entendre there.
Yeah.
I'm not
really rolling my eyes yet, but, like, I feel it coming.
There was Remedy.
What's
remember Remedy being made. I remember...
The origins of Remedy.
I was there when Remedy was first created. I think the Audio Pilots.
Yep, Audio Pilots.
Audio Pilots.
That one makes me roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Adam, I'm gonna read off some popular university a cappella group names.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to tell me which one of these makes you want to never listen to music again. Sound good?
Okay.
Compulsive Liars. University of Michigan.
It's not horrible.
Okay, what about, you think that one's not too bad? How about this one? From Berklee College of Music, we've got Pitch Slapped.
Not quite at the point I'm not listening to music ever again, but I'm getting close.
How about, from the University of Chicago, The Ransom Notes?
That's kind of clever. Kind of, but it's only kind of clever.
Boston University Oral Fixation?
That's bad. That's bad.
Alfred University, Sexy Pitches.
Stop.
Uh-huh.
No.
Uh-huh. University of Connecticut, Con Men.
No.
From Brandeis University, the Shirley Tempos.
Stop. No. Shirley Tempos. No. No.
From the University of Florida, we've got the Seductives, like
Seductives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you ever gonna listen to music again yet? Because fine, I'll wrap it up. You can cancel your music subscriptions after this one. University of Waterloo, Unaccompanied Minors.
It's been a pleasure doing work with you.
Oh no, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I spoke too soon.
MIT.
Logarithms. I hate them so much. Oh my god, do I hate that? I hate it on a plane. I hate it on a train. I do not want to listen to music anymore. Is that the end of the episode?
No. We'll continue.
The logarithms.
That's so bad.
Ah, my heart hurts. So Anna Kendrick, angsty DJ. She like works. She interns at the on-campus radio.
Assumedly being supervised by a student.
Yes.
Which
turns out to be a senior who exposes his midsection, like, 2 days into the work. Whatever.
It's a very concerning situation. I need to see their supervisor.
Yes. Anna doesn't want to join anything. She just wants to do what she's done. But, Adam, college is a time to step out from the comfort zone into what we would call the challenge zone. Where you might be uncomfortable. It's the zone of discomfort.
Yes.
But
college is great because it's all about the challenge and support, baby.
Challenge and support, yeah. Hey, baby. And so her dad's like, if you actually do something interesting for once, I'll let you go to Los Angeles. And she's just like, okay.
Assumedly to get into the industry?
Well, yes, because she wants to be the next Marshmallow. And so she joins the Barden Bellas, which is like a very... like unsuccessful. I mean, okay, they're successful.
They make it to successful. Like,
yes.
Until the infamous
Vomit number one,
which was vomited by Chloe.
Yes. We don't like Chloe. Do you like Chloe?
No. I'm trying to like.
Okay.
I'm like.
I was gonna say like.
I made a political comment while we were watching this, and I don't know if I want to bring it up.
We
here.
Got a lot of shit to unpack if Chloe's a fave of yours. Like Chloe's no. Chloe's awful.
Chloe is a fave of mine in so much as Kylo Ren is a fave of mine.
Say more.
They're compelling villains.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's about it.
It's acceptable. Yeah. So she vomits on stage.
She also has
number.
The best first line of a character.
Which is?
If you've made it this far and you don't win, leave Kuwait.
Yes. So, Chloe's father.
Assumedly senator, Republican senator from Louisiana.
Yeah.
I'm just going to assume that.
She's like, if my daddy ever taught me anything...
My god.
It's that when it, like, if you ain't winning, get your ass out of Kuwait.
That's what it was, yes.
There's a lot of that comedy in this. There's a lot of, like,
and
really...
this was 2012, so right as... like, this was... we didn't know if Obama was going to have a second term.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably pretty assumed. He was running against Mitt Romney, man with a dancing horse.
After the 47% and Binder's comments from Romney.
Yeah.
That sunk his campaign.
And he was a Mormon, so... like, not anything against Mormons, but, like, in this country, that's an uphill battle. Like, for
the religious... most legitimate cult. in my opinion.
Yeah.
Wait, and so, I have friends who are Mormon, and they're nice.
We'll wait until Book of Mormon to talk about Mormonism. But
will we ever get there?
God, I hope so. No, one can only hope. If we're getting a Dear Evan Hansen,
they need to make...
It stands to reason to me that there will be at least a pro shot. There will be an additional money grab.
So we're considering pro shots movies.
Are we doing Hamilton at some point?
I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, yes.
I have you on record now.
Yeah, Adam.
I know.
We're going to do Hamilton.
I know.
We're going to do it.
I know.
I just don't want to mention it too much because then Lin-Manuel Miranda breaks into our apartment. That's and right. It always turns into a problem. I ain't doing that shit again. We had to fix the hinges.
I know.
And they're only like $3
really,
a piece.
He's really strong.
He's a strong dude.
Carrying the back of Broadway since 2015.
God. And being Puerto Rico's favorite son is a weight.
Yeah,
it's a weight on your shoulders. and so like that's pretty much her character. Mm-hmm. Like, there's really not much more to it.
To Chloe. Yeah,
or to Chloe, and also like Anna Kendrick is Becca. Like,
yeah, very straightforward.
Yeah, like she wants to change things. Chloe doesn't want to change things. Oh no, right. Inner group conflict.
Right.
It's
almost like there's a liberal and a conservative.
What? You know who's in this movie that I did not remember was in this movie?
Rebel Wilson?
Unfortunately, also Rebel Wilson. I was going to say Ben Platt.
Oh, yeah!
Ben Platt, who at this point in time would have been an age where it would have been more comfortable for me to see him as a high schooler in Dear Evan Hansen.
I'm sorry. Real quick. The Dear Evan Hansen trailer, he looks so... out of place.
If they had kept his hair the same way that it was in The Politician, it would have been fine.
Or like how it was in the original Broadway production. Why is it this curly mop?
I think, yeah. My best guess is that they felt the need to change things up a little bit because he might be approaching recognizable. And so, like...
Yeah! Flex it! Why are we concerned?
I don't like the hair. I am not team hair.
No!
The hair's rough.
The hair's shit!
Let me be very clear. However, I support him in the role.
Oh, 100%.
But I do not support the hair. The hair's uncomfy. Anywho, he's in this... This is 10 years ago, yes. Ben Platt. And he's a character in this who's real into Star Wars. And also... sleight of hand, close-up magic.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on people who can do sleight of hand magic?
Well, I follow a few magicians on YouTube who do sleight of hand in particular.
I think sleight of hand, yeah, I like...
It's fascinating to me.
Those people are annoying to me, or the Facebook magicians, it's walking a line. Because the people who are doing literally number theory, where they're just like, alright, I'm gonna guess your age, and they're like, okay, yeah. in your head.
Yeah.
Think of a number.
Number theory stuff where...
It's math. It's not magic. It's like,
you
it's
take
math.
This plus this minus this times this divided by this. Look at that!
Look at that! It's your age. No, that's literally... They just select a number... Or they give you numbers to select from in a range where every value works.
Right.
In some way, shape, or
those
form.
Those magicians...
It's like what the Catholic Church has been doing with science for all of history. Like, the church is like, it's magic! Or it's like, magic! And the science is just like, well, 1 + 1 = 2.
I don't want to say the Catholic Church.
The church, fine. The capital C, the lowercase c church.
The Protestant church.
Yeah, all of them.
The Big Bang Theory came from a Catholic cardinal.
Yeah, but it took them a while to be like, this is okay.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
No,
it we're didn't. Not talking about this now, but it absolutely did, and I will.
They back evolution.
It took them a while. Anywho,
anyway,
anywho.
This isn't Catholic Apologist the podcast.
And also, stop apologizing. They've done bad things.
I know.
Heard of the Crusades?
And that's not even the tip of the iceberg.
The Inquisition. Let's begin. God, we need to do History of the World.
We've heard of the producers. Yeah, we should do it.
Oh my god. Oh my god, it's been such a long time, such a great. So Ben Platt is named Benji, which is really creative character.
That's fun.
Naming there. He's just a nerd. He really wants to be a part of the group,
mm-hmm.
but he does not nail his audition to Since You've Been Gone. I can't tell if when he was singing that, if he was intentionally trying to sound bad. Or if this was just, like, early vocal development Ben Platt.
I think it's probably intentional. Okay. Because we hear him sing well in the end. Because
Ben Platt does this thing sometimes where, like, I've talked to some, like, vocal trainers who, like, sit on, like genuinely, like,
okay.
Like, they work in Los Angeles, and they're, like, sitting on the edge of their seat with Ben Platt.
Who do you have contacts with?
People. You don't know, you don't know my Rolodex.
That's fair.
Anywho, and, like, there are critiques of Ben Platt's voice where people are, like, it's really good, but, like, some vocal trainers are like, he's going to blow out his voice by age 30.
That's what I've heard. I remember when the original Broadway cast of Dear Evan Hansen came out. And actually, no, it was when his single, his solo album came out.
Yes.
I was talking with an RA that I was supervising at the time, and she had asked me, have you heard it? And I was like, I haven't yet. And she's like, he sounds great. He's not going to sing in 5 years.
Yeah, but...
but he sounds great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he does this thing also in a lot of his music where he does this kind of weird, like, And it's, like, I get it, but it sounds like you're, one, straining. And, like, there's a way to do that artistically, but when you do it in every song...
Yes. I mean, like, overall, huge fan of Ben Platt. Yeah. I think what you're talking about, I think it's really pronounced in the song Rain. You haven't heard Rain?
No.
Oh, my God. If you haven't listened to Rain by Ben Platt.
I'll listen to it.
Real good.
On the way home,
it's real good.
Okay.
But, like, he starts the chorus, which is like, hey! I know some not! Like, it's in this range where you're like...
Hey, dude.
Are you, like, you have to hurt at the end of the day.
There have been... Now, I am not comparing myself to Ben Platt. Do not take this as myself.
Oh, okay.
I am not. I'm a big fan of car singing.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll get carried away trying to hit high notes.
Yeah.
Even though it's just myself.
Sure.
I'm only trying to prove the point to myself.
Well, yeah.
You're one more son to me.
It's how I sing Valjean's parts, when I should just be sticking with Javert's, but...
Same!
Yeah.
No, literally, example, like, I sometimes...
Who am I? I'm Jean Valjean!
Like, it's so high that...
So nasally, especially if you're listening to the shit movie version.
Yeah. I'll get to my destination after singing the whole way. Something else better to do. And my voice will hurt. Now, if I'm Ben Platt and I'm going even higher than that, straining, he has to be in pain.
He's got to be in pain. But he's also in this movie.
Yeah. right.
Yeah, so he's in here. He's a joy. He gets his a sleight of hand magic. Yes.
I like that. He also painted his dorm.
Yeah.
He painted his side of the room black.
Yeah. You know,
you can't do that.
Listen, we'll do a segment here towards the end where we just talk about some of the inconsistencies.
Yeah.
And how things work, but no, you cannot paint your walls.
No. They don't, the universe doesn't pay you for, like, improvements.
Right.
Except you.
It's just Skylar Astin plays Jesse. I don't care about him. There's nothing to this character. Like, the main, quote, love interest. He's kind of just there. Dude's obviously a 26-year-old man pretending to be a college freshman.
He's really into movies.
He's really into movies, but, like, very specific movies. Only the ones scored by John Williams, turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least in that one scene.
In the one scene. He's just like, hey... we're going to watch a movie, and it's going to be... And
it was like Jaws, E.T., Jurassic Park, Star Wars. I don't think John Williams did Rocky. You mentioned Rocky. Let me check.
Who probably didn't do Rocky. That doesn't sound like a Jonathan Williams project.
No.
So he's really into movies, and that's pretty much his character beat. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much him. I think we can move on from Jesse.
Bill Conti.
Okay.
Did the music of Rocky.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Who's the best character at this? I think there's a correct answer. 5, 4, 3.
What's her name?
Is it the quiet one?
Yes!
It's Lily.
Yes. Her name is Lily.
I don't...
She ain't her twin in the womb.
So, yeah, so Lily is...
That didn't even register.
...is absolutely phenomenal to me.
My God, what an actress.
Her whole thing, and, like, most of the... I didn't really realize till the end how much of the comedy was built around her as a character.
Yeah.
So she's real quiet. She's the very timid type, like, and every time that she speaks in the film... It does the most dramatic close-up shot of just her face.
And they're clearly she's speaking at a normal volume.
Yes.
And the audio engineers have just...
So quiet. And so it's really tricky because we were, watching this in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's turned up pretty quiet. I almost needed to turn on the subtitles to hear some of these. And even going back and reading some of her quotes, I'm like,
I didn't.
Oh, that's what she said. Adam, here's a list of some things that Lily has said throughout the film.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, my name is Lily. I was born with gills like a fish is apparently something that she said. She also apparently informed the audience that at one point in time, in the beginning of her life, she ate her twin in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
She also... I think the one that really got me, this was the piece de resistance, was, I set fires to feel joy.
Yes.
And someone responds, that's adorable.
Yeah.
And then, last but not least, she, another really good one is, she just asks someone, do you want to see a dead body?
Yes.
I don't know what Lily's deal is. I don't know where she came from, but goddamn am I happy that she's here.
Yeah. It was great.
There's some scary implications behind that.
Oh, yeah.
Rebel Wilson.
I think you and I have different opinions on the character of Fat Amy.
First of all, let's establish why she is named Fat Amy.
So she's called Fat Amy because as she tells Chloe and... Is it Amy?
Yeah.
Aubrey.
Aubrey.
Tells Chloe and Aubrey during their kind of up the orgs activity table day.
She introduces herself. She's just like, I'm Fat Amy. And they're like, you call yourself Fat Amy?
And she's like, yes, because that way I call myself that so that twigs like you can't call me that behind my back.
Like twig bitches like you.
Which, honestly...
Empowering?
Empowering. There's a... it's quite Shakespearean.
It's kind of beautiful.
In Romeo and Juliet, there's a character named Mercutio who openly tells Romeo at one point in the play, I'm the worst person, I'm the worst dancer, I'm the most ugly person you've ever seen. And Romeo's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, listen, if I say it, no one can hurt me. Shakespeare out there in the 1500s, you know.
She, in this... Rebel Wilson,
she has some fun moments.
She's literally only there to just freestyle and riff. It's very clear that that is what she.
But
does.
It's like, good at times.
It's interesting. It's definitely good. She has a lot of like really good, like one-off lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know that someone there's like a serious situation and then she says something and then it cuts away immediately. Like it you're never meant to sit on it. You're not meant to think about it.
I think. Of all of her one-liners, my favorite was at the very end when Becca comes back.
Well, at least it's not herpes.
Oh, it's not. No, it wasn't that. It was like why they all joined the Bellas. She's like, I just wanted to hang out with some cool girls, and I just had so many boyfriends. I just had to give it all a break.
She is so...
It's also implied that
she fucks.
She gets around.
Amy gets around. Like, she... It, like... There's times, and there's specifically the time when they're getting the band back together because they thought they weren't going to make it to the international competition, which essentially, as you discussed, just means the United States and Canada.
I went to back in high school, I was heavily involved in marching band, and in the winter, outside of marching band, there's winter guard.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know for that, it's the colors. It's the color guard, the flags, and the rifles and the sabers, whatever. My high school was at the International Winter Color Guard Championship. It was one team from Canada. International.
Uh-huh. Well, there's someone else there.
Technically international. And it was actually held at the UD Arena.
And a random team from Kuwait. So, yes, I like her little one-off. She's fun. She really gets around. They're getting the band back together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it cuts to her, because they're calling everyone, mm-hmm. and they call her, and she answers, and she's in a pool surrounded by, like, incredibly attractive people, mm-hmm. and, like,
And someone hands her her phone. Yeah. It's not like she's the lame one there. Yeah. She has just as much importance as everyone else.
Yeah, like, hot people are handing her stuff, and it's just like, huh, you're interesting, aren't you? Her story arc is almost interesting enough to get me interested in the concept of Pitch Perfect 2.
Mm.
Almost enough. Almost. We're close. We're not quite there.
I always forget also that she's Australian and not British.
Yeah, she's Nossie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has a lot of fun one-off lines. We also have... Have we talked about, goddamn, Adam yet? I don't think we've talked about Adam Devine. We have not talked about Adam
Devine. No,
we have
not.
What are your thoughts on Adam Devine?
He has always struck me as, like, in all of the roles he's done.
Like, all four of them.
I can only describe him as wannabe frat bro.
Yeah, that's. I think that's fair.
But there's nothing about him that makes me jump out of my seat and be like, oh, hell yeah, Adam Devine's movie.
I don't know if he's that funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's that funny.
I think he's
There. He's definitely there.
He's fine.
He's not Devine. For, like...
You see, when you said Devine, and this might just...
Ohio people.
Might be where my head's at. A little preview into my psyche. I thought of the drag queen Devine.
Oh.
Of which Ursula from The Little Mermaid was modeled after.
Oh!
I had watched a Little Mermaid behind the scenes video because they had the new live action ones coming out soon. And they talked about that. But they spent way too long talking about the drag queen Devine. Anyway.
Yeah.
That actor was also in the original Hairspray, which we've covered on this podcast.
The good Hairspray. Wait, the original Hairspray.
The original.
The original, not the so Nikki Blonsky remake.
No.
John
Waters made a 1980s movie called Hairspray. Like, the producers, it was just a drama.
Yeah.
Or comedy, then a musical. Anyway.
I will give Adam this. He does really well in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Have you seen this? It was the 2016...
Is it Mila Kunis in that movie?
Yes! So it's definitely Zac Efron.
There's a scene with ATVs.
Yes! Yes. No, Oh my god, no, it's another... So it is ATVs. I don't think it's Mila Kunis. I think you're thinking Aubrey Plaza. It's Aubrey,
yes.
It's Aubrey and Anna Kendrick.
Yes!
Because, yes, this is, I think that's how they got pulled into this project together, was mm-hmm. because this movie came after, I think, Pitch Perfect 2.
Yes.
He does a pretty damn good job in that one. And that one's really funny.
He's good.
He's always just a lot. He's there to yell. I've learned about Adam Devine.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he can sing. I was like, okay, that's fine. I like how at the end he... At the end, so he's like kind of like the villain, but not really the villain, because it turns
he's our tertiary villain.
Yeah, like the villain is the concept of infighting and mm-hmm. not, you know, actively communicating in a team setting.
Right.
So he's the tertiary villain. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he leaves his group
to be a backup singer in a music video for John Mayer.
I would also leave my college a cappella group to go be a backup vocalist for John Mayer. Would you not?
No.
What the fuck?
No.
You wouldn't go be a backup vocalist for John Mayer?
You and I have very different priorities in life.
And your priority is attending a international, quote, air quotes, international a cappella sing-off?
I'm not a big John Mayer fan.
You don't like...
I mean, he's fine. I don't dislike him.
I'm triggered. Okay. This is the first... For someone who works in higher ed and talks about being triggered a lot, like, I think this is genuinely one of the first times I've ever actively been triggered. You don't like John Mayer?
No, I... He's fine.
What's it like not having a soul, Adam? We'll keep moving, I suppose. God, this hurts. Okay,
it feels fine, by the way.
There's a lot of... Okay. You know, we'll unpack this offline. I'm genuinely upset, but we'll move past it. So,
oh, come on!
It's John Mayer.
He has some good ones.
Yes. Have you never, like, wanted music to listen to on a Sunday morning while making pancakes? John Mayer.
I listen to podcasts in the morning.
I can't listen to podcasts.
Oh,
like, when I'm doing a task.
I cook exclusively to podcasts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You should listen to John Mayer. So
now we're making Italian food, it's only Frank Sinatra.
Oh, well, of course. Like, what else? Or, like, the Rat Pack, or, like, Dean Martin. Or yeah. Does it have to be Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra or Sammy Davis Jr.
Mm. Okay.
I'm a big Sammy Davis Jr. fan.
What's your favorite Sammy Davis Jr. song?
I've Gotta Be Me.
Okay. I've gotta be me.
Mostly because it was the Westworld Season 2 music, and it was so good.
It really is a good song. You've Gotta Be You.
Yeah.
And I've Gotta Be Me. And I like John Mayer because I have taste. So there's like, I like the riff off in this. I will give Pitch Perfect this. I do like the riff off.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty clever.
Yeah.
So the concept of the riff off is that like this guy has some sort of magical self-powered pocket projector. I didn't see a power cord.
Everyone has one.
Okay.
Weren't there when they handed them out?
No, I didn't get that as my onboarding gift. It wasn't in my welcome basket. So he like, it's like a wheel. So he like spins a projected wheel on the wall, and here are the categories.
And he's also, for the record, this guy shows up multiple times. He's almost like the ringleader of the acapella.
It's like he's in charge, but he can't sing.
Right, so he, those who can't manage.
Right. Is this inclusive?
Because
these groups are pretty pretty exclusive, but...
I mean, maybe he had that good of a personality.
They just liked him that much.
They were like, you're not going to get in. And he's like, I have a pocket projector. And they're like, oh, shit.
That would be so good for the riff off.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Remind me to talk about the budget of the organizations. We'll talk about it in the higher ed breakdown. So here's the categories of the riff off. I want you to tell me which one you would feel most comfortable jumping in on.
Okay.
Ladies of the 80s.
I think that one.
Songs about sex. Black Michael Jackson. White Michael Jackson. Christian rock.
No.
That's mine, honestly. Hair bands. TV theme songs. Reggae time. Medium rock. The Judds. Famous duets. Overplayed Black Eyed Peas. Puppet songs, songs ruined by Glee, party rock anthems, ugly lead singers.
Yeah, so ladies of the 80s.
You're sticking with ladies of the 80s?
I like 80s music.
I would either be Christian rock or songs ruined by Glee. Because here's the ironic thing about this. So before we started recording, we went through the list of, you know, songs covered in Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them have been touched by Glee.
Yes.
Which makes sense because, like, one thing we looked into is, like, a lot of times these types of movies will, like, reach out to artists and say, what's a song you haven't released yet? But that you think is going to be a bop, right? And so, like, they reached out to, like, I assume Party in the USA was probably one of those. If I was guessing. I don't know when Party in the USA came out. Anywho, so they'll reach out to artists so that, like, by the time the movie releases, the music will still be, like, fresh and new and be relevant to people seeing the movie. But I just thought it was ironic that half the songs, or almost all of the songs, were covered by Glee, and one of their categories was songs ruined by Glee. I would like to play a mini game with you very briefly.
Yes.
I would like to, because I know that you've seen all of the episodes of, you've seen all the episodes of Glee, right? You have. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go through and I'm gonna pick out some songs here. You're gonna tell me who did it. We're gonna debate who did it best.
Okay.
Right. All right. So we're gonna start with, obviously, Since You've Been Gone. Did you like how they did this? My initial vote is gonna be the Glee version.
Yeah.
Because, and this is where my brain's going. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But, like, they did it more of, like, a montage.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't like it.
And it wasn't good because it was, like, it was a comedy montage. It was kind of, like, in the producers with the auditions.
Of Hitler.
the little wooden boy.
Next.
I like how, though, everyone that they auditioned got a place.
No.
Almost everyone did.
Except Benji,
yeah. Which I, yeah, these organizations are not as high and mighty as they think they are. Okay, so Since You've Been Gone, that's score one Glee, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing, I'm going to say Bulletproof. I think Bulletproof goes to Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I really like and it was kind of like a like an underlying theme throughout this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, they just kept playing Bulletproof. And I'm like, why? Why is this the song that they're really latching onto?
Right.
And, like, it appears in, like, musical mixes. And, mm-hmm. like, it just keeps popping up in different places. But yeah. finally, it, like, it makes its, you know...
Right.
Makes its big stage debut.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's score one to Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Last one that we're gonna do is... let's do Fuck You.
Ooh.
I'm gonna give this one to Glee. My vote's Glee because they did it in a mashup with Fuck You by CeeLo Green.
Oh.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So that's my vote. Where do you land?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going with Glee.
Yeah.
So Glee wins.
Glee wins.
Yeah, sit down, Anna Kendrick. You don't know shit. Glee is a great show, honestly. Like, kind of underrated.
Sure.
Yeah, except the dude who was in a wheelchair who wasn't actually in a wheelchair. Anywho.
That's awkward.
Yeah, these things happen. Thanks for participating in that minigame.
Yeah, of course. That. Of course, of course, yeah.
Is there anything else in here that's really important that we talk about?
I think
we've, like, you know, pretty much covered all of our bases. The music's good.
They make it to the end. They win the final.
Yeah.
And then... The last scene is the auditions
mm-hmm.
with the new heads of the group. And we see that Benji's now part of the heads
yes.
of the troublemakers. And we see it is Becca. I want to call her Bella because it's part of the Bellas. It's Becca and Fat Amy and...
Aubrey.
Is it Aubrey?
I think it's Aubrey.
Those three are now the head of the Bellas. And the last thing we hear is that the winner of the championship mm-hmm. gets to pick the audition song.
Which is a weird practice.
And it's a... Yes. It's a weird practice because then it just ends with Anna Kendrick's... With Becca just going, all right, song's gonna be cut to credits.
Cut to credits. What do you think the song was? If you could... If you had to force every a cappella group on campus through this weird unified audition process... That you had to audition to, what song are you choosing?
Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
9 to 5? That would be tough to sing.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
That'd be really cool as an acapella.
Huh.
Let me see if there's an acapella cover of it.
I bet there probably is. It's a Dolly Parton song, so you know there's at least 85,000 covers of it on YouTube of girls in their bedroom alone being like, here's a ukulele cover. Just like, ding, 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 ding.
Tumble out of bed, stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretching.
You're not getting into it enough, though. They've got to be, like, bop into it. So, 9 to 5, I think that's a strong...
I found an acapella cover.
I think that's a strong choice. I'm going to do... You know what? We mentioned Les Mis, it's on my mind. They have to audition to The Confrontation.
Really test out your range there.
Uh-huh. But they only have to sing one of the roles.
You have to time it so it's...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So if you were...
Because you know of all those collegiate acapella groups singing Les Mis covers.
So if you were Valjean, you'd have to do 5, 6, 7, 8.
Or, and if you're Javert, like, you can choose which one to do.
Don't say another word, Javert! I was counting it out in my head.
Yeah, and you know Lily's sitting in the corner with a stopwatch being like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, she knows.
Real quick, I want to just play you this cover.
This never sounds good for the listeners.
I don't care. The London Contemporary Voices.
Okay.
9 to 5.
Okay. This is exactly what I would have predicted.
But they're British, so. Dun, dun,
dun. It's not called a bus, you call it a. Oh, they don't call it a bus.
They do.
No, they call it like.
A bus.
A double decker Danny, I don't know. They worked really hard on this video, but there's only 11,000 views. Let's use our platform. Let's uplift
Let's lift up the London Contemporary Voices Group.
9 to 5, Dolly Parton.
Go listen to it. It's okay.
They only have 11,000 subscribers.
It's cute. It's cute. They'll get there someday. They'll get there someday.
That is out to get me.
Let's talk about how this movie portrays higher education.
My God!
All right.
So, first, what the heck? There's a shirtless person running outside the window.
And it's nighttime. You're going to get hit by a car, strange person.
Anyway, so here's the thing.
Hazing for sure.
So,
do you want to start with hazing?
Let's start with hazing. Well, yes, it's hazing.
Yeah. They make them drink, quote, the blood of the sisters.
Sisters before us.
Yes.
Which is weird. So here's the thing with hazing. I actually gave a hazing presentation 2 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I did it the second year.
Educated man.
Yes. Hazing is just defined as being forced to do something you don't want to do.
Yes.
In a college setting, that is what hazing is.
Isn't there also, like...
Now, there's...
With the caveat that it's to earn you acceptance into...
If it's not required.
Oh, okay.
That's it. So, like, someone... We'll get briefly political here. A lot of colleges for many, many years have required vaccination records.
Okay.
Some colleges have not. But some do.
Yes.
If I was an anti-vaxxer student applying to University of College, and I wanted to go to U of C.
University of College State.
University of College State, UCS. And they were like, we require vaccination records of all of our students. I couldn't then try to sue them and say this is hazing.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be something like, you know, to join our club, you have to, you know, drink this wine, drink this beer, or even if it was just like, to get into our club, you have to drink this cup of water.
Mm-hmm.
And if I said, I don't want to drink the cup of water, they said, well, you have to get into the club.
That's hazing.
I'm being hazed.
Also, if it's like, and the definition often gets expanded to be like, if you have to wear like certain types of,
or do certain things.
It mm-hmm. rarely is like violent even.
No.
But like if you're required to wear like specific clothes it's on like Fridays.
You have to wear
hazing.
This green polo or right. like you have to do an upperclassman's laundry for the week.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Boom. Hazing.
Right. But also just hazing in general is bad. I'm not going to get onto my whole hazing
soapbox. Yeah, no more
soapbox.
Hazing. Hazing doesn't fly, you know?
Nice.
But the initiations for both of the organizations.
First of all, a lot of student organizations, unlike how they are often portrayed in colleges, typically have either a faculty or staff supervisor.
Advisor. Yeah, like an advisor.
Like,
where's the advisor? I did not see an adult anywhere except all of the 30-year-old people playing college students.
Right.
I did not see any adults anywhere.
No. So, like, how the Bellas got all of those candles into the theater.
Yeah.
And they were all lit.
Lit. That like, was like, I know this point, is a weird hill to die on, but like.
And Becca, at one point, when she takes her blindfold off, even like, almost like recoils because she's like, oh shit, I was almost gonna burn my shoulder.
Yeah, like full Frankenstein, just like, oh, fire.
Like, it's so weird. Yeah. Where do they get the money for this?
Why don't we just get rid of fucking, crazy, stupid rituals? Like, what is a tradition? Like, get rid of traditions.
When we cover Fiddler on the Roof, I'll tell you all about tradition.
Tradition! Teach me about
tradition!
My Jewish friend.
Tradition!
Right, like, let's just get rid of those. And, like, the money is also a great, great component here. Because you know what the, like, troublemakers
have? The troublemakers have a house.
Yes.
A jacuzzi. Massive,
like, the troublemakers have a house that I can only describe as, like, a maker or, like, a creator house. In, like, L.A., where a bunch of douchey YouTubers get together, like, mm-hmm. 20 people for a house, mm-hmm. and they're like, this is gonna be a space that, you know,
we're gonna be spikes creative.
Creativity. Like, shut up. Like,
we're gonna use graffiti on the walls!
Right, like,
our landlord's gonna hate us!
Right, our neighbors hate us. Like, everyone hates us. You're a content creator, that's why. Right. And so, like, they have, like, super nice house. They have a specific bus like a stripped and converted school
like
bus.
Like a tiki-themed bus.
Like, yeah, like more. It's actually more of a charter bus. It's like super nice on the inside.
Yeah.
What in the hell? Where did y'all get the money for that?
Right.
Is there a cash prize to the competition? Did we miss that?
No.
No? Okay, they just have a lot of money.
It's pride.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you win, but yes.
Yeah. Also, the rationale that the women use in the girl group mm-hmm. to kick out members of the group. This one's fun.
Is if they have sex with a troublemaker.
Yes, because if they let themselves get penetrated by a troublemaker, then that gives them the power, in the words of Fat Amy.
No. Aunt Amy critiques that and says that's not the best time to use. That's what Chloe says.
Oh, that's what Chloe says.
In her fascist,
awful,
dictatorial,
Republican ways.
She practically had a Hitler stash the whole time.
She kinda did. She sucked.
Yeah.
And that's why she vomited the second time. Oh my god, the vomit.
Yeah.
That was one of the moments in this movie where, like, things just fly off the rails.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, oh, okay, I guess this is happening now.
Yeah.
You can't kick someone out of your group because they have sex with someone else.
Because also...
An approved on-campus student organization.
Like, also, like, first of all, whatever your sex life is, that should be your own thing.
Uh-huh.
That's just a rule of life.
It is.
You know, unless you're going to a meeting, I don't know, like a sex addicts meeting or whatever. I don't know if you'd call AA, I don't know, double D? I don't
know. It's actually just SA. Sex Addicts Anonymous. SA.
Do you like a double D joke?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That's good.
But then to bring it up in front of everyone else and then geek them out.
Yeah.
So there's a little thing called Title IX. I mentioned it briefly in the intro. Title IX is basically this law that says no one can be discriminated against based on their gender, race, sexuality. You know, it's the catch-all, you can't discriminate.
Right, just don't. It's kind of the catch-all. There are specific things that are not necessarily covered by... there are specific personal identities that are not covered by Title IX.
Oh.
Like Title IX... the easy way to think about it is, like, Title IX is pretty much... It's not exclusively, but it's the most protective over race and gender.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah. Like, those are the big ones.
Yeah.
It does not cover sexual identity.
Oh.
As most things don't.
Because
I think that's something our society really just decided that we were going to really pay attention to in the past, honestly, 15 years.
That's fair.
If not, like, 10 years. Like, thank you. Like, genuinely thank you, Obama.
Yeah.
I think that was probably... the fastest moving, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, the fastest moving social issue.
Yeah.
Is
just this, like, year, gay marriage has been legal longer than the Civil War took place. Than the Confederacy existed. Ha ha ha!
You telling me that the Pride flag now carries more weight than the fucking Confederate flag?
100%.
Like it always has? Anywho.
Gay stole the rainbow!
Things that have lasted longer than the Confederacy. The time I staved off watching Pitch Perfect.
The time I spent in college.
The time I spent in college. This is always a fun game to play.
What lasted longer than...
The things that lasted longer than the Confederacy.
Modern Family.
Yeah. Where's the Modern Family flag? Why am I not flying that out of my house?
It's cold.
Why is that not part of the goddamn Missouri flag? Is it Missouri?
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Yeah. I don't think it is anymore, though.
Did they get rid of it?
They have a new flag.
I know that they wanted to. I didn't know
the flower
that
they,
if
on
they
it
did or not.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's the other thing. The whole internship with the radio station.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because
what are you interning?
So here's the thing. Now, as someone who's worked in career services.
Is it an intern or is it a campus job?
Right. Like, internships are often designed for, like, gaining skills in a field that you otherwise might not be able to get unless you applied for a job there. But it's a student-run organization, and she's also a student. I think the screenwriters just were like, internship sounds official.
Right.
That's just
like... also, on your first day, like...
Right, it's like, moves in immediately... working there. Right. It's so weird. And also, they mentioned not going to class specifically, like...
Oh, these are not students, Adam.
No. They mentioned class once in that Becca missed it, but no one ever does any homework or never anything.
It also does do a lot of time jumps, to be fair.
It does.
It bounces around quite a bit.
Still, it gives that impression to young kids that college is a place you can just chill and hang out, and then after 4 years
and get a sing degree. Without instrumental backup.
And sing well without instrumental backup. Mm-hmm.
Not everyone should sing.
I have been to an a cappella competition.
Well, how was that for you?
Half the groups were really good. I remember very specifically there was a group. It was not the group that I was there rooting for. But it was a group that performed May the Circle Be Unbroken.
Oh. May the circle be unbroken.
But they sang it like a gospel choir. So it was like upbeat and like kind of fast.
May the circle be unbroken.
Oh, faster than that.
By and by, right. Home, by and by.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, I like that.
I loved it.
Huh.
There was a whole group that did just vocal covers of like Nintendo video game song, like theme. Like that. Yeah.
You know, the one beatboxer who's just like. He's like, I know my place. Do you listen actively to any a cappella groups now?
Only at Christmas time.
Only at Christmas time!
And it's Pentatonix and Straight No Chaser, yes. And no one else.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. I have a little dreidel. I made it out of clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do like, as we kind of come to a close, I do mm-hmm. like this period of time in society where society... out of the blue, was like, you know what's really lit?
I think it was Pentatonix who did it.
Kind, yeah. It was because they were on the not the Voice.
America's Got Talent. And then
right.
Skyrocketed.
Everyone's just like, what's this?
And they're
making
still,
noises with the mouth?
They're still together to this day.
Are they really?
They have cycled through. They've been like three of the five. Three have stayed, but two have rotated out multiple times.
Interesting.
Yeah. They have a great cover of The Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Of course they do. It's Christmas.
And it's my favorite piece by them.
I wouldn't say they're as integral to the spirit of the holiday season as Michael Bublé.
Or Mariah Carey.
Or Mariah. No. That's like God tier. That's like that's like those YouTube videos. It's like that is S rank. Like that
we're
is S tier.
We're gonna have to figure out what Christmas musical we're gonna do this year. We did Polar Express. That'll be a conversation for another day.
Chocolate.
We'll just re-review Polar. We'll just only
a year later.
What are
your thoughts? The annual review of Polar Express.
Wouldn't that be funny? There's a podcast I know called Blart Another Day.
God
it
damn it!
Comes out every Thanksgiving.
I know exactly where this is going, and I hate it.
They only review Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
What is Kevin James up to?
I don't know what
is he well? Are you well, Kevin James?
I don't know.
I feel the need to check in with him every once in a while, similar to how I am with, like, John Goodman.
The last movie listed on Google is Grown Ups 2 from 2013.
What's he been doing for, 9 years?
He's in a movie called Becky?
Becky.
Kevin James is a merciless killer threatening a little girl.
Neat. Who does Adam Sandler
with
play?
With a beard.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's scary, Kevin James.
He do be looking like a killer. Once again, I repeat the question. Like, who does Adam Sandler play?
Yeah.
What role's Kevin Hart in that?
The little girl.
The little girl played by Kevin.
Aggressive film.
Hey! That was a bad Kevin James.
That was...
And that's the end of the show.
Kevin James? You mean Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart. Kevin James? Who is Kevin James? Is Kevin James a person?
Kevin James is the actor we were just talking about. That's Paul Blart. Kevin James.
God damn, I need to go to sleep.
It's right there.
I'm not looking at your laptop, Adam. Anywho, Kevin Hart. Are you going to watch Pitch Perfect 2?
No.
I hate to admit it, there's a non-zero chance that I might watch Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah?
If people wanted to watch Pitch Perfect 1, where could they watch it, Adam?
You can watch it on HBO Max.
On HBO Max.
The most premier streaming service to find the corporate shill of a film, which is Space Jam, A New Legacy.
That is one thing I will not be watching.
I watched the first 10 minutes of it and had to turn it off because it was so bad.
Isn't it literally just like Warner Bros.?
The literal plot
of the movie.
Do you know the plot at all?
I can guess the plot.
So the plot is LeBron James's son
is into video games.
Is into video games and is literally sucked into the Warner Brothers server by the Warner Brothers server algorithm, played by Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle,
whose character name is Al G Rhythm. Like the algorithm?
No, I get it.
So Al G Rhythm sucks in LeBron James's son to the Warner Brothers servers. LeBron James chases after him and is sent to, quote, where the rejects live, which is like the Looney Tunes world. Then Bugs Bunny and LeBron James have to get all the Looney Tunes back together, but the Looney Tunes have been placed into different Warner Brothers properties. So, like, Elmer Fudd is Mini-Me in Austin Powers.
What in the hell?
Foghorn Leghorn, you know, the big rooster.
No, I'm
do declare. Oh, yeah, boy.
Is he stuck in a Chick-fil-A commercial?
No, he's been placed in Game of Thrones as Khaleesi.
Are you fucking kidding
me? I wish I was.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And the most batshit crazy thing of all, where's the Tasmanian Devil been? Oh, well, he's been chilling with Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty is in the new Space Jam movie as themselves.
Are they, like, self-aware?
Yes! And it's weird.
I didn't know Rick and Morty is a Warner Brothers property?
Yeah.
I guess that would make sense.
They own Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
So, literally, all of the Warner Brothers characters come to watch this basketball game, including the Droogs from A Clockwork Orange, one of the most violent films ever made. At one point, Pennywise is cheering on the Looney Tunes next to the Night King from Game of Thrones.
I can't believe I have such a good excuse not to ever want to watch this now.
And what's even better is you have, not only do you have Jack Nicholson's Joker, you have Heath Ledger's Joker, and Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, all cheering on the Looney Tunes, standing next to Scooby-Doo.
Did they cut out, like, so, how did they do this?
It's people like, it's people in, like,
are they static
shitty
or are they moving?
Halloween costumes. They're moving. They are moving.
Oh, so it's not like actual Heath Ledger cut out from a film. It's someone dressed up like
Heath Ledger
from Dark
Knight. It's the three Jokers, which is also a Batman comic recently. Anyway, yeah. But it's the three different iterations of the Joker all cheering together. Also, the 1960s Burgess Meredith Penguin from the Adam West Batman movie.
What in the shit?
Like,
I'm so upset.
The Iron Giant is sitting next to King Kong. Are you looking at pictures?
No, I'm on Facebook Marketplace.
That's a better place to be. Anyway, this has been Stage Rant.
This has been Stage Rant.
We'll be back with another episode.
Apparently the life lesson here is don't watch the new Space Jam.
Oh, but before we go, here's a last... Sorry, spoilers for the new Space Jam. If you've made it this far in the episode, spoilers for the new Space Jam. At the end, Bugs Bunny dies.
What the fuck?
He dies.
They kill off Bugs Bunny.
They kill off Bugs Bunny.
How do they kill off Bugs Bunny?
Well, so they have to do a move in the game to win the game. But if they, whoever does that move.
And the move is sacrifice?
The server will delete them.
Why?
Okay, and so sure. LeBron James is like, I'm gonna do it and free my son. But then Bugs Bunny comes in and is like, no, Doc, I'll do it. And then he does
jumps into oblivion.
And then his dying words are, that's all, folks.
Holy shit!
I'm not kidding!
Oh my god!
And then LeBron's back in the real world and then looks down to his left and sees Bugs standing there and he's like, you died! And Bugs is like, what are you talking about? You didn't die. I'm Bugs Bunny.
What the shit?
And that's how it ends.
With what you've described in this movie, I'm a little disappointed that Bugs Bunny's last words weren't like, buy the merchandise.
Right?
buy, be a consumer. Go to spacejam2.com. Spacejam2.com. Go buy t-shirts, magnets, bumper stickers, water bottles, frisbees. Buy it. Be a consumer. That's how you can support our franchise. Okay, sorry. I mean, that's all, folks. Bye.
It's the most...
Oh, my God.
Like...
That ruined my day.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Every piece of IP that appears in Space Jam A New Legacy.
If you want to stop listening to the show, you can stop listening to the show.
Variety. Okay. The Nike swoosh.
Power through it. Just like bam, bam, bam.
Star Trek,
bam.
Superman, Austin Powers, Casablanca, Mad Max Fury Road. The Roadrunner was put in Mad Max Fury Road, and he holds up one of those wooden signs he holds up that says, Witness me!
What? What?
The Matrix, The Maltese Falcon, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, Wonder Woman, classic tunes, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, The
what?
Justice League, Alice in Wonderland, Captain Caveman, A Clockwork Orange, The Chappelle Show, Dick Dastardly and Muttley, The Flintstones, The Godfather, Gremlins, Harry Potter, The Herculoids, The Iron Giant, It, Jabberjaw, The Jetsons, King Kong, McGilla Gorilla, The Mask, The Nerdlux, Penelope Pitstop, Peter Potamus, Scooby-Doo, Space Ghost, Thundercats, The Wizard of Oz, Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, and Yogi Bear.
I can't,
are all in this movie.
I'm gonna be honest, Chief, I'm still stuck on Casablanca. You lost me at Casablanca.
Right, like...
God damn it, I'm upset.
Anyway, this has been Stage Rant.
Hey, Stage Rant. We'll be back at some point with, like, what are we doing next? Do you want to do High School Musical?
Sure.
Let's fucking do High School Musical. Let's go!
We'll be back next week with High School Musical.
High School Musical.
Hell yeah.
All right, see ya.